What news, Lestrade?
Some. The dead man on Horace Harker's doorstep has been identified. His name was Pietro Venucci, a Sicilian by birth, but he had spent much time in America. He recently arrived in London, but was well known to the Italian community here. It seems he was a knifeman for the mafia. That's a little gang the Italians have. Bless me, they do try. Lord knows they will never match London's gangs for toughness, fearfulness, or organization.
Of course not.
Recently, Venucci has been affiliated with a splinter faction called the Red Ring, or something like it. They're an extremist Italian nationalist secret society. Well, secret, I say, but Pietro Venucci had a red circle tattooed on his chest above his heart. Apparently, it is required of all full members, so they must have a new definition of secret I was previously unaware of.
And yet, it corroborates the story I formed to explain the bizarre rash of crimes. It explains why Benito Marinetti checked the chests of every Italian he met.
Benito who?
I think I figured the whole thing out, Lestrade. Let me tell you what I know.
Eh? That's not like you, Watson. Usually you make us wait until the end.
Well, this time I'm not going to. It all begins with an organ grinder named Benito Marinetti, who worked with a chimpanzee named Beppo.
An organ grinder?
A kind of demon.
Really? Because most of my homes are underneath slaughterhouses, and I've always thought, after they've taken the muscles of the cow for meat and the skins for leather, there must be somebody whose job it is...
Organ grinder is a carnival slang. It denotes an entertainer who works with a hand-cranked calliope and a trained primate. The man plays music while the monkey dances and begs the audience for coins.
I have heard of such things, yet aren't the monkeys usually quite small?
I had to admit that they were, and that I had no idea what a full-grown chimpanzee might be doing in such a role. Holmes was wiser.
Ha! Perhaps it might be easy to deny your pocket change to the average capuchin, but what if you knew he could snatch you up and throw you over the nearest fence?
Good point. Organ grinding was Mr. Marinetti's trade in Italy and America. Yet, upon his arrival in England, he took new work, shaved his ape, stuck a false mustache on its face, and passed him off as a fellow Italian.
That would never work.
You'd be surprised. Now, why did Marinetti need to hide? Because he was in possession of an item that was sought by the Red Circle Gang, or whatever they're called. Unless I miss my guess, the item must be fairly small. Probably no bigger than a man's fist, and probably much smaller. What do you say, Lestrade? Do you know of any items stolen roughly 1 year ago that are connected with Italy?
The Black Pearl of the Borgias! It went missing from the Prince of Colonna's bedroom at the Hotel d'Acre just over a year ago. Suspicion fell on the princess's maid, a girl named Lucretia, but nothing was ever proved.
Perhaps now it may be. You see, 1 year ago, Benito Marinetti found himself in possession of a small item desired by the Red Ring. He was accosted outside Gelder & Company and badly wounded his attacker with a knife. He knew he only had a matter of minutes before he was killed or taken into custody. What should he do with his treasure? He fled into the wholesalers, where he saw just the expedient he needed. 6 freshly cast busts of Napoleon drying in the molds. He thrust his treasure, probably the Borgia pearl, into the wet plaster before the constables came for him. Can it be coincidence that, just after Marinetti's release from prison, busts of Napoleon started getting smashed all over London? And not just any busts. Holmes and I have traced every single one to the particular batch made at Gelder & Company on the day that Benito Marinetti was arrested.
Only 4 have been smashed. Quickly, we must track down the last 2 busts.
Already done. Both were brought and subsequently sold by Harding Brothers near Kensington High Street Station. One went to Josiah Brown of Laburnum Lodge, the other to Mr. Sandiford of Lower Grove Road, Reading. I dispatched telegrams to both men, warning them to expect attempts on their busts, urging them not to confront any intruder, as he is quite dangerous, and offering to purchase the busts if they will bring them to 221B Baker Street tomorrow morning.
Well done. Have you had any answers to your inquiries?
I was about to say no, but perhaps I'd better hold my tongue until we see who it is at the door.
Sure enough, it was a messenger boy with a telegram from Mr. Sandiford, promising to hide his bust of Napoleon that night and bring it to Baker Street the next morning.
Well, that simplifies matters. It leaves only one bust vulnerable this evening. Gentlemen, I suggest we hurry to Chiswick and lie in wait outside the door of Mr. Josiah Brown.
Yes, perhaps we shall catch this Benito Marinetti.
No, I shouldn't think so. Marinetti has gone into hiding. Nobody has seen him since his release. He has a well-trained confederate who has been breaking into the targeted houses and smashing the busts.
And who is this well-trained confederate?
I handed him back the picture we'd taken from Pietro Venucci's pocket only that morning.
His chimpanzee, Beppo.
But no, this is just some random Italian fellow.
He's not! He's an anti-Napoleon battle monkey. And he's wonderful. And I'm going to fight him. Ooh, it would be a sight to see.
Lestrade gave Holmes exactly that same disbelieving glance I'd used earlier that day.
No, it won't. You'll kill him in an instant. He's only an ape. Or maybe an Italian, but either way.
All right, but he's got a hammer. Did Watson tell you that? He's armed.
So? Holmes, I'm not sure there's anything such as a god, but if there is, and if you were going to fight it, I really wouldn't know where to place my bet.
And then a strange light lit up in Lestrade's eye. He did have a bit of a mania for gambling, after all, and putting his thoughts into words helped him realize that. At least in the case of this night's festivities, he knew exactly where to place his bet.
£5 on Holmes!
No, I'm not taking that.
£5 on Holmes in 5 seconds! Monkey dead in 5 seconds from the first blow or the initial challenge.
No bet, Lestrade.
I'll give you 2-1.
Very well, but I tell you this. I intend to win. I know it will disappoint Holmes terribly, but it's the right thing to do. For Beppo's sake, I'll take that bet.
We shook on it, and Lestrade gave me one of his rare smiles.
Done. I suppose we'd best head off for Chiswick, eh?
Yes, to battle, to greatness, to Chiswick.